Well, good morning, and so glad that you are here. I want to say a special welcome to you, and thank you for joining us here at Second Baptist Church. We're grateful that you've chosen to be with us, and hey, just want to say a special welcome to all of our guests. If you're a guest today, we would love to connect with you and know who's worshiping with us today. There's a couple ways that we can do that. One is there's a card in the pew back in front of you. If you would fill that card, fill that information out, and at the end of service, as we leave today, you can leave that in the offering plate or you can leave it there in the pew beside you. Or whether in person or online, if you want to go to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says I'm new, you can click that button and fill that information out. And it is a way to know who's worshiping with us and how we might be able to serve you or your family. And so thank you so much for being here. Let me make a few comments of a few announcements of things that are happening and going on in our church. And so we are getting ready for, preparing for revival beginning September the 8th. And so if you'll notice in the bulletin, that will begin Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. And so each night is at 6:30 with a meal beforehand, and we are continuing to get more information out, but I hope you'll make plans to be with us for that. And in preparation for that specifically, coming up, we are praying and asking God to prepare us beforehand. And so we're having a prayer meeting each Sunday night leading up to that. Tonight we will be meeting at 6:30 at Miss Vivian Kennedy's house, and her address is there in the bulletin. And we'll be praying for revival. So I want to invite you to come and be a part of that. Join us for prayer tonight. All of our Wednesday night ministries have resumed, and so this past Wednesday night we kicked everything off, and it was a really fun night. Our kids ministry and youth ministry, meal is at 5:30. Those ministries happen between 6 and 7, and then at 7:15 we offer a free meal for college students and worship service at 8 o'clock. So a lot of things happen on Wednesday night. Please come be a part of that. And then finally, want to mention to you that in the back of the room here and some other places around the church, we have a stack of your invited cards. And so I really want to encourage you, especially for our folks, if you'll pick some of those, they're in bundles of 10, and really want to do a good job of inviting people to our church, but also especially in preparation for revival beginning on September the 8th. And so Sam Moore, Evangelist Sam Moore, will be coming to lead us. We'll have Caleb Reynolds for the first half of the week at least, leading us in our worship on Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday night. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. I think I'm really looking forward to that. We've been praying for it. We've been talking about it in preparation. And so pick up some of those invite cards. They're not specifically tied to revival in terms of the information that's there, but they're invitations to our church. And so I want to encourage you to pick up a pack of those cards as you go out to eat or you interact with people, friends or neighbors. Pass those cards out. Make a personal invitation for them to come and come to church with you. And so really looking forward to that. And then finally, let me mention, we are planning to baptize September the 8th. And so got a couple guys lined up. So if you're interested in baptism, we would love for you to take part in that on the 8th. So just find me, talk to me about that, and love to get you connected and ready for that time. So amen. Well, I want to share with you from 2 Corinthians chapter 3 as we begin to focus during our time of worship here. And I just read this morning and wanted to just take a minute and read this verse to you and then specifically pray this. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, near the end, he's talking about people coming to know the Lord, but he makes this statement, Paul does, in verse 17. He says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." And really my hope and prayer is that God would, his presence would be here today and anytime our church gathers, and that we would experience the Spirit of God, that there would be liberty, there would be freedom in that. I know that sometimes we come through the doors and there's a lot of things that we carry with us And this is a time that, Lord willing, is a time of freedom. It's a time of to worship the Lord and Him to minister to us and encourage us, challenge us, all of those things. But also, we don't want to be a church that's just tied to just because it's printed on the agenda in the bulletin. This is what we have to do. We've prayed about these things. We've prayed about the songs. We've prayed about the message and the orders, all those sorts of things. But we want to be sensitive to what God wants to do. Because sometimes the move of God disrupts our plans. And so where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so we're going to pray in just a moment. I am, today is one of those bittersweet days, if you will. As you know, Pastor Jonathan, his family, today is their final Sunday, final day with us as he has accepted the position to go lead First Baptist Church of Knoxville, Arkansas as their lead pastor. And so it is difficult because losing this family and our church family and all that they do and how they serve and how God uses them here. On the flip side of that, it is exciting to the extent of that we know that a church in our association, in our area, is getting a godly pastor and a godly family that loves Jesus, is going to be faithful to preach the Word of God, and lead them to be more like Christ. And so in that regard, it's a celebration. And so in just a few moments, we're going to sing and worship the Lord, and then Pastor Jonathan is going to come and preach a word from the Scripture to us, and then at the end, we'll have a time of praying for them. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. And so if you would, if you just bow your head and close your eyes right where you're at, and where the Spirit of the Lord, there's freedom. And so we're praying that there be freedom today. And so I don't know what burdens, what struggles you may be carrying in today, what hardships, what difficulties, but you may just barely got here this morning because there's just some things, some stuff going on in your life. Would you just confess that to the Lord? Would you just, He knows it, but sometimes there's something about us praying about that and just confessing it to the Lord and just telling Him, I'm struggling today. God in heaven, we bow before You and we confess that, God, without You, we're nothing. And God, without You, we can do nothing. And so, Spirit of God, we need You today. God, we pray that, God, You would work and You would move here today. I pray that You, Holy Spirit, would flood this place. I pray that we would have freedom to worship You in spirit and in truth. God, I pray that we would exalt You. God, I pray that Pastor Jonathan would have freedom to preach the Word of God as thus saith the Lord. And that, God, if there's any loss, God, that You would save them today. God, any that's struggling with the next step of obedience, be it baptism, whatever it is, God, You'd give them strength to be obedient to You today. God, maybe it's a public declaration of them placing their faith and trust in You recently. God, I pray for those that just struggling with hardships and burdens and grief and depression and anxiety. I pray You would work in and through them today. Lord Jesus, we love You and we praise You. We come to this moment asking You to do what only You can. And by Your grace, we'll exalt You in all that we say and do. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand with us as we sing Trust and Obey?
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. And through His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey. Christ, the reason for my living, my very breath, my all in all. Christ, the source of my thanksgiving, my salvation and my song. I found it all.
Strength when I was weak, your patience in the waiting, provision for my.
you say that this morning? As you come in here to join us in worship and to sing praises to the Almighty God, can you truly sing and mean that you found everything in Christ Jesus? Because truly, it's in Him alone that we find life. It's in Him alone that we find peace. It's in Him alone that we find the joy that is unspeakable. So continue to lift your voices and praise to Him as we sing this incredible hymn, In Christ Alone. Understand some of those words. Sin has lost its grip on you. If you have come to Jesus Christ and you have laid your life before Him and and you have confessed your sins and repented of them. You turn from your ways of doing things to His way of doing things. Sin no longer has a say in your life. That's why there's no guilt in life and no guilt in death. And I don't know if you came in here this morning with some guilt upon you, but here's what I know. Jesus died on the cross so that you would not have to bear that guilt as you leave that door today. So why not give it to Him? Even now, He is calling, give me that guilt so that you can experience that freedom. Pastor Chris read that incredible verse, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Spirit is here, so there is freedom. We know that truth. To His voice today as He calls you out upon the waters.
Upon the waters, wherever You would call me.
Well, amen. Get a little bit of water there to get ready. Change hats for just a moment. For one last time here at Second Baptist Church. I've been my second family now for a little over 15 years. And I hope, my prayer has been that as my family has had an opportunity to be here, that we have always, and always is a strong word, isn't it? We use that definitive language. But most of the time, we hope that we have allowed God to lead us as He truly has called us out into areas where maybe we're not so comfortable. Maybe to where we have to actually exercise a little bit of faith. That I don't, you know, I like to plan. Okay, I like to have things figured out, and then I, because that plan gives me parameters, right? And I like to function within those parameters. But guess what? Sometimes God's plans are different, aren't they, than ours? And although we may think that our plan is a pretty good plan, when God calls us out to go beyond the parameters in which we have created for ourselves, we must know and we must trust that God has a better plan. And in fact, God's plan is actually best. And I will say that in the moment, we may not view that as being the best plan, but we understand that as we get into those steps, right, that we take toward Him, it is only there that we find the glory of God on display. I want to preach to you a sermon I've entitled, The Holder of Your Heart, from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This passage here, these two verses, they were very special to my mom, and they're also very special to my daughter, Erica. These are her life verses, if you will. This sermon, Pastor Chris, I've been sitting on this probably for two or maybe almost 3 months now. So I'm just going to warn you up front. When I sit on a sermon and I kind of marinate in it a little while, do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes that sermon gets longer. But I will say the brilliant idea to have a potluck after the service today will help in ensuring that the sermon won't be too long. Amen? Because, oh, thank you, good. I'm trying to make it easy for you this morning where you can say some amens. Because I want this time to not just be where you see me up here, at least in the capacity as your associate pastor for the last time, because I'm not going very far. And I may have opportunities to come back and fill this pulpit from time to time. Who knows? But I don't want this to be about, oh, this is Jonathan's last Sunday. I want it to be about trusting God. Even in the midst of the most difficult circumstances that you might face in your life, we must trust God. And let me tell you something. I'm going to get into the sermon just a little bit right now. But I want to tell you something. You are going to trust someone or something. That it is inevitable. The way that we are designed, we are going to trust someone or something. Most often, I'll be honest with you, I trust myself because I know my limitations. I know that I'm capable of at times. And so I tend to trust those things. And yet, what I don't understand about myself and my walk with God at times is that I don't tap into the potential through the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of me, who, by the way, is far beyond any capability that I think that I have. So why wouldn't I trust God's plan for my life? So before I get into the sermon anymore, I want to ask you, you just sat down, would you please stand as we read the Word of God, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I'll be reading from the Christian Standard Bible this morning. The scripture will be on your screen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own understanding. I think some translations say, do not lean unto your own understanding. That's a great word there, lean. In all your ways, know Him, and He will make your paths straight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we are grateful this morning that You are God. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords. We are thankful that You are the Creator of all things. Life itself flows from You. And with that, Father, there is an acknowledgement in our hearts and in our minds this morning that You know all things. But we also acknowledge, Father, that sometimes we pretend to know more than You. And I pray that as we walk through this passage of Scripture, that lie that we believe that we know more would be destroyed. And that we come to a place to where we fully trust You with all of our hearts. We love You, and we give You the praise for what is about to happen. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Trust in the Lord, He says, with all your heart. So that's where I get this title for the sermon today. The holder of your heart. Because we truly know that when something gets in our hearts, what is in our hearts will truly dictate what we think, what we say, and what we do. Are you with me this morning? It may seem like I'm going to talk around these truths this morning, but I want to share with you from this passage five different truths that I see here. But as we look at the main idea this morning, the main idea, if you have your notes and you want to fill in the blanks this morning, the heart is the helm that heads your hungers, that helms your habits, that hasten your harvest. And some of you are smiling because you know that I love alliteration this morning. And there's a lot there. And I purposely made this main idea so, I guess, layered this morning, because that is exactly what I want to do with these points and these truths. I want to really hash out what I... There's the H again, right? I'm going to try to resist, okay, this morning. Amen. Y'all are going to be like, how? I didn't know there's that many H words in the dictionary. Are you with me this morning? Okay. But I want to hash out this idea that things flow from our heart. So that is why it is important for us to trust the Lord with all of our heart. If He is truly the Creator of all things, the Creator of life itself, then He knows how to live this life in such a way that it would be fulfilling. That we would know unspeakable joy. That we would know the peace that passes all understanding. That we would know how to love each other unconditionally. Amen? So many times, we tend to trust Adam and Eve in the garden. They trusted their own heart. Have you ever thought about that? When Adam and Eve were confronted with the fruit, right, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that fruit which was forbidden for them to eat from by God Himself. And remember, He gave them parameters. In fact, it was actually a lot of freedom. He says, you can eat of anything in this garden that I have provided for you, save one tree, and that is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And when Satan came in form of a serpent and he began to question the Word of God, you know what he was doing? He was trying to undermine truth. And the truth was, God said that if you eat of that fruit, you will surely die. And so Satan himself, he says, you won't die if you eat of that. Would you really die? I mean, come on. And so what happened was, in the heart of Eve, and by the way, again, we must acknowledge that Adam was standing there next to her. So even in his heart, they began, that seed of distrust was sown. And then when you see as Eve, and again, Adam had these thoughts as well. When he saw that the fruit was it was desirable, it was good to eat, right? And it would help, and because Satan said, hey, the only reason why God doesn't want you to eat this is because you'll be like him. You'll know things. How can that be so bad? And what they forgot was, and y'all, I forget this too, that if we just trust God, that he'll come and he'll walk with us and he'll talk with us and he'll tell us that we're his own. And the joy that we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Y'all remember that in the garden? I do that too. I begin to distrust. And I forget about the presence of God walking with me daily. And I begin to say, well, I can do this on my own. And that's exactly what Adam and Eve did. They said, I want to know things and I want to know it now. You know what? That's so funny, because here we are in a society today, and we say that we are in a microwave society. We want our money, and we want it now, right? J.A.G.E. Wentworth? Anybody? You've seen those? We want everything now, right? And it has always been that way. Adam and Eve wanted it now. They wanted to be like God, and God had an intention to teach them and share with them on a daily basis as he would come and walk in the garden with them. And he would unveil things, and it would be true rather than a lie. So they believed a lie. The heart is the helm that headed their hungers, that held their habits, and that hastened to harvest. And their harvest was separation from God. Amen. Their harvest in that moment was that sin would now enter into the world and change the equation. That they would be expelled from the garden and not be able to experience the presence of God walking with them on a daily basis, because now there was a barrier in between. But thanks be to God, in that moment, he kills an animal and he makes the first covering for them. Woo! Y'all get excited this morning? Because that is exactly what he intended to do all along, was to send a suitable sacrifice in his son Jesus so there would be a permanent covering for our sins. Why wouldn't I want to trust him? Why wouldn't I want him to hold my heart? And that's the question this morning as we look at it. Does the Lord hold your heart? We must all answer that question. Even if we've been walking with God, I've been walking with him for over 40 years now. But I have to ask myself that every day. Does the Lord truly hold my heart? Because if he does, then I know what the harvest will be. I know what the fruit will be. And we'll get in that in just a moment. But my tendency, again, is to trust myself. It doesn't say trust Jonathan with all his heart. No. Trust the Lord. So does the Lord hold your heart? And you're like, you're thinking right now, he's got 5 points and he's taken this long to get to the first one. Amen? They flow together. So let's look at it together. All right? The first one. The object of your trust will helm your heart. And when I use that word helm, you got to think about, when I was looking at this passage of Scripture, I thought about a ship, right? I thought about that, you know, that big steering wheel. You know, who's at the helm of your life? That could be another way in which we could ask that question this morning. The object of your trust will helm your life. It'll steer you. I hope you understand that. Even today, there are people who are in the world and there are certain things that steers their lives. It points them in a direction. Whether they are pursuing fame, if they're pursuing riches and wealth, if they're pursuing relationship, I mean, just fill in the blank. All those things, although I'm not saying that money is bad, I'm not saying that relationship is bad, I'm not saying that getting to know people, that's bad, but when that becomes your only pursuit in life, it is what steers your life. But here, in this proverb, it says, trust in the Lord. You know, one of the things that we hear from time to time is, you know, just listen to your heart. No. Scripture doesn't tell you to do that. Scripture here says, trust the Lord. Listen to Him. And when you do, my goodness, first of all, you won't regret it. Secondly, you can't go wrong. God is not going to lead you in a path of sin, is He? This is the object of your trust. Trust in the Lord. Listen to what Jeremiah says. Says that Jeremiah's over here. You're going to say this. Okay. Just kidding. Wow, is it? Do I need to come down here? I feel like this is like, are y'all awake this morning? Do I need to come down and preach right here this morning? Okay. Dad's saying do it. Okay. These are the jokes, y'all. So bear with me. Now, the prophet Jeremiah, he says this in chapter 17. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the person who trusts in mankind. He makes human flesh his strength, and his heart turns from the Lord. You see that language there? And having the object of your trust helm, it turns. You know, when it steers and it turns from the Lord, he will be like a juniper in the Arabah. He cannot see when good comes, but dwells in the parched places, in the wilderness, in a salt land where no one lives. But listen to this. The person who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence indeed is in the Lord, is blessed. He will be like a tree planted by water. It sends its root out toward a stream. It doesn't fear when heat comes, and its foliage remains green. It will not worry in a year of drought or cease producing fruit. The psalmist in Psalm chapter 1 says a very similar thing. How happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked or stand in the pathway of sinners or sit in the company of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. He is like a tree planted beside flowing streams that bears its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Do you see how necessary it is for us to place our trust in the Almighty God, in the Lord? Do you see why the writer here, the admonition is to trust in the Lord with all your heart, with everything? That's one of the reasons why we chose I Found It All this morning. Because we have to come to that place each and every day to really acknowledge before God, I have found it all in you. Everything I ever wanted. Everything I'll ever need. I found it all. I found it all in you. But here's what we do when we put something else in the place of God. That is what we're singing to that something or someone. And by the way, it is easy to do. And don't hear me getting on to you this morning. Hear me say, go to God. Trust in Him. Whatever you may be experiencing this morning, you know, here's where we're at in our country. It doesn't matter who's in the office of president. We don't, as believers, we don't place our trust in that person or in that office. We place our trust in the Almighty God who sits on the throne and who has never been off of that throne, by the way. And if He's never been off that throne, then that means that His decrees that have been set before time began itself, they are still in effect. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And, you know, we think about our laws and how we have amendments to our laws, or we have another law that is approved to annul that this other law. That never happens with the laws of God. There is no one who has ever walked the face of this earth, a human being, that could write something and then God would be impressed and say, oh, you know what? That's actually a good idea. I think we need to change that. In fact, we'll probably have to rewrite the majority of the Word of God. You're laughing, right? No, that's ridiculous. I try to say things like that so you understand how ridiculous that is. But also to help us remember that we can trust His Word because it's true. It's true. So the object of your trust will helm your heart. And then what we have is your head, or your heart will head your hungers. And this is what you got to understand, is that when your heart, when something is in control of your heart, then that will dictate your hungers, what you desire. And here's what we also have to understand from this verse right here. Do not rely on your own understanding. Do not lean on your own understanding. What happens is that that object that we place our trust in, that has a hold of our heart, that is steering our heart, also dictates in our minds what we're thinking. And as we think those things, that creates our desires and that creates our wants in our lives. So as a result of that, we now create this narrative. You understand what I'm saying? We start writing our own story instead of allowing God to write our story. You know, on January 3rd, 1982, around 8:30, when I knelt beside my mom and dad's bed and I asked God to forgive me and I confessed my sins and when I got up a new person, right? What I was also doing in that moment, and I didn't realize this then because I was 7 and a half, almost 8 years old. I didn't understand this then, and truly it's taken me a little bit to really grab a hold of this. But what I was doing is I was surrendering to the author of all of life so that He can truly write my story instead of me doing it myself. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? I guess I want you to maybe grab a hold of is let God write your story. Let Him hold your heart. Let Him not only hold your heart, but take over your thinking so that what you hunger and thirst for is righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why? because they will be filled. They will be full. Here's what we got to understand is when that happens, your life will be full. Have you ever started reading a story and you get into it and you're just so enthralled in it and you just keep reading chapter after chapter after chapter, and then you find yourself at the end of that book and you're like, whoa, man, I just immersed myself in that story. That's the kind of story God wants to write for your life. So that you'll look back on it, and here's what I want you to understand. And God knew what He was doing 2 or 3 months ago when He laid this sermon on my heart, because He knew that this moment was going to be happening. And He knew that my family would be stepping out in faith. Even though 15 years here of investment and what God has allowed us, oh my goodness, y'all, He's good. Oh, do you understand? I mean, if you look back over the 15 years, not because of me, but because of God, what He has allowed Second Baptist to see and experience as a result of obedience. The thousands that have made professions of faith in Jesus Christ alone because of Second Baptist Church. That's worth it. And you know why that happens? Because we allow Him to write our story. I told you, I've been marinating this for like 2 or 3 months. So, y'all, I'm full this morning. I hope you're ready for it. I hope you came in. Maybe you came in full and this is just, you're overflowing now. But maybe you came in empty, and I'm hoping that the Lord fills you up. I don't know if you saw me up here singing. I have a hard time staying still. Y'all know this. But even this morning, my heart was full, and I'm full right now, because here's the reality. When we trust God with all that we are, oh, y'all, what we experience, we can go about singing that hymn, right? Blessed Assurance. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long, right? Because we're not ashamed of our story. Because we know God is writing it. And why would we want to be ashamed of that? Whew. Where are we at? Okay. Your heart will head your hungers. Listen to what Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10 says. The heart is more deceitful than anything else, and incurable. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, examine the mind to test the heart, to give to each according to his way, according to what his actions deserve. Even here, we see the admonition to trust God and not trust your heart, because so many times we get it wrong. And God knows that. And the good thing is God doesn't beat us up. He keeps calling to us to come to Him. And he says, come so that I can get it right, because I am always right. Your heart will head your hungers. Your hungers, they will hail your habits. They will signal them. You see what I'm saying? You understand why I use that word there? What you desire in your heart. This is what he says. In all your ways, the admonition is to know him. So there's this idea here that when we trust the Lord with all that we are, and we don't think about our way of doing things, then we also know God in our ways. So then there's going to be a particular outcome. But if we don't do that, because our hearts are deceitful, then we're going to wind up in places that we never intended to be. You understand? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been? Anybody can you would say, you don't have to raise your hand, but I'll raise my hand. I have been in places where I never thought I would be because I made decisions that I thought was good. There was one time, I'm going to share this, and you can ask me, several people know this, and this is one of those times in my life where I just incredibly disappointed my father and mother. I thought it would be a good idea to take a pellet pistol on a ride on the interstate with some friends, and we decided to stage a fake hostage situation on the interstate because we thought it would be funny. You know what else we did? We purposely drove slow so people would have to pass us on the interstate. I know none of you have ever had like crazy ideas like that, so I'm the only one, right? So that's exactly what we did. We're driving on Interstate 40 toward Fort Smith. By the way, this was like Christmas time. This is December, and we're going Christmas shopping. We thought this would be a way to entertain ourselves on the way to Christmas shopping, Robert. I mean, this is great. This is brilliant, right? And so we purposely drove slow, and people would... Oh, but y'all, it was funny in the moment because people were like, they would not look over at us. And that's exactly what we wanted. We wanted their reaction, and we just loved it. And after about, just because we were ADHD, about 10 minutes or so, we just thought, yeah, we're done. Well, guess what? We scared somebody really bad. Now, this is before cell phones. I'm dating myself now. They got off the interstate, and they called it in to the Franklin County Sheriff's Department. So we're driving along, and all of a sudden, we look in our rearview mirror, and there's this white van coming up. And it passes us, and it says, Arkansas State Crime Lab. And then we look ahead, and we see an Arkansas State Trooper pull across the median in front of us and park on the side of the road. And that is when we were like, oh no. We pass him. He gets in behind us. And he turns on his blue lights. And my friend who is driving, he says, he's pulling us over, he's pulling us over. And we're looking, and not one, but two, three, four more state troopers on the other side of the road. Now you know where this is going. He pulls us over, and before he's even stopped the car, his door is open, and he says, driver, get out of the car. And so my friend gets out. We're stopped, and this guy walks across the interstate, and he looks at me, and he says, you, get out of the car. I get out, and I look back. Not one row, there's two. Two people were there, two cars, another two, another two, another two. It just went on and on. They took us back to Franklin County and they told us that they had six FBI agents out on us and 15 cruisers. Luckily, I got away with just a disorderly conduct ticket. Amen. But let me tell you something. What began as a harmless prank, what began as a brilliant idea, escalated very quickly into a place where I never thought I'd be. And you know what was worse? When I got home, I knew I had to tell my dad. And he was disappointed. And that was all the punishment I ever needed. We sat at the table that night for dinner, and I tried to engage him in conversation, and he sat there with his head down and didn't say a word. And I looked over at my mom, and she just looked at me, and she went, like that, right? And I was like, oh my. You know, I think in those moments where we find ourselves in a place where we never thought we would be, maybe God is shaking his head like this, not necessarily, I think there's disappointment there. But I think what he's shaking his head and he's saying, why didn't you just trust me in the first place? Because if I was at the helm of your heart, then I would be determining your ways. And I never let you get in a mess like that. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? Your hungers will hell your habits. And then the fourth thing we see here. Let me go to that verse, Mark 7, 21 and 23. It says, for from within. We have to understand it's from within these things come. Out of people's heart come evil thoughts, sexual immoralities, thefts, murders, adulteries, greed, evil actions, deceit, self-indulgence, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. This is Jesus talking, by the way. All these evil things come from within, and they are what defile a person. And that is why the psalmist in Psalm 139, that great psalm that lets us know that God, he understands us completely. He knows us from the inside out. In fact, he formed us in our mother's womb. At the end of that psalm, the psalmist says, search me and know me and see if there's any evil way in me. You know why he said that? Because he knew that God could root it out and he could change him. Because there's no, the psalmist understood there was no way he could ever possibly do it by himself. Your hungers will hell your habits, and then your habits, they will hasten your harvest. And we already kind of talked about this a little bit, and he will make your paths straight. So there's a distinction there, and all your ways know him. And then the Lord's going to make your path straight. That is that harvest. What we understand, what we're going to continue to do with our lives, we understand that whatever our habits are, they will determine those things. So that's why it's important to get it right at the beginning. Don't trust yourself, because here he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, because where it ends up is very important. Because your heart, the things in your heart, they go to your head that cause you to say and do things, and not only just once, but that twice, and then you find yourself again in a place where you never thought you'd be. And this is what he's saying here. Galatians 5, 16 through 24, this is a longer passage, and I want to read this to you though, because the Apostle Paul gives us this contrast between walking in the flesh, doing things our way, and walking in the Spirit, doing things God's way, all right? I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then he says, now the works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I'm warning you about these things, as I warned you before, that those who practice such things, now listen to this, this is the harvest, right? Will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So now we begin to understand why we are to trust the Lord with all of our hearts and not rely or lean or on our own understanding, and why we should allow Him in our ways, to know Him in all of our ways, because He will direct our paths. He will produce a harvest that is so much more beyond what we could possibly imagine or think. Because Jesus, in all of His glory and all of His goodness, He wants us to have an abundant life. And because He says, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The thief, the Satan, the lies in your life, they only come to kill, steal, and destroy. Don't trust in those things. Trust in the One who is the shepherd of your heart. And allow Him to be at the helm. And He will steer you into a harvest. Ooh, that's incredible. Jesus said this in Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added. You see, when we trust the Lord with all of our hearts, when we truly seek after Him, He says, I'll take care of the rest. That is so hard to do though, isn't it? If we're honest, to just totally trust God and to seek Him with all that we are and to leave the results to Him. Because sometimes, for me, I don't operate as if God is right next to me. You know, I said earlier, He's the King of Kings and He's on the throne. But the wonderful thing about God, He's not confined by space. And as we believe from the Word of God, He is even here in this moment. And He's speaking to us. You know, when my family started to consider this opportunity, and I told you all this 2 weeks ago, that we put our yes on the table. And that's exactly what we wanted to do, is to trust the Lord in all of this. And we left the results up to Him. Now, in that moment, we didn't understand that we would be here today saying that it's time to move to another place. But He kept saying, come. Come a little further. Take one more step. And as we did, you know what He was doing? He was holding our hands. Because He knew, and He knows what is ahead. You know what? He knows what is ahead for you. Trust His hand. Because here, at the end, this morning, when the Lord holds your heart, your heading is holiness. He will make your paths straight. And you don't have to worry about tomorrow. Here's one of the beautiful things about the Lord leading us. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. I love this verse. Because Jesus came and He lived a perfect life and He did the will of the Father in everything that He did. He went to the cross willingly laying his down sacrificially for what? For all of us. Dying there for our sins. Even in the garden, you see Jesus, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But not my will be done, but yours be done. Because we understand that when Jesus laid down his life, he knew what was coming. He knew Sunday morning, amen, on that at the break of day that he would walk from that tomb alive and well. But not only did he know that, but he knew that as a result of him being alive and well and walking from the tomb, that he will be leading others behind him. Those of us who believe, we are being led by Christ, it says here, but thanks be to God who always leads us in Christ's triumphal procession and through us spreads the aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. So as we think about the Lord holding our heart, we are being led in triumphal in this victory parade in the world around us. And we're not declaring that we are holier than thou, right? We're declaring, holy is he who is in the lead. Amen? Holy is he who is in the lead. Come join the procession. That's our invitation, isn't it? When we're going and we're inviting people to understand the beauty of the gospel and what Jesus has done for them, we're inviting them to come along in the procession that Jesus is leading. Let me tell you something. It doesn't happen automatically, does it? We have to trust Him. We have to say, God, my way of doing things is not right. We've got to relinquish some pride, don't we? And we've got to say, God, I'm a sinner. And I'm nothing without you. And when we lay that down, and when we give that to him, there's his hand bringing us in behind him, cleansing us, making us whole, and helping us understand each and every day what it's like to walk in victory. Why would I not want him to lead my life? Why would I not want to trust him with all of my heart? Do you? Do you trust him? Maybe you came in today and you would admit, the Lord's not leading my life. Let today be that day. Come to him. He's calling out to you. And maybe that's your first step on the water, is to submit your life to him and surrender everything and declare for the very first time, I found it all in Jesus. And maybe you're here and you've forgotten, you've taken your eyes off of him. You know what? Even if you've done that, he's never taken his eye off of you. Isn't that a wonderful truth? And all it takes, you know what? All it takes is for you to call out to him, and there's his hand once again. Have you noticed that? God is always reaching. Take his hand today. Here in just a moment, we're going to have a time of response. And I want to give you an opportunity to do just that. Take his hand. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm going to invite Pastor Chris to come forward. I believe that there are individuals here today that need to reach out to the hand that's reaching out to them. I want to give you that opportunity. For the very first time, if that's you, I want to invite you to come forward. I know it may sound intimidating to do that, but let me tell you something. There are a lot of people in here that would rejoice with you if you made that decision today. There's no judgment at the altar. Only grace, only forgiveness, only mercy and compassion, and a peace. Won't you come? Come and talk to Pastor Chris, and he wants to share with you. Maybe you're here today and you've taken your eyes off Jesus. The altar is here as well. Again, there's no judgment, no condemnation. There's grace, there's mercy, there's forgiveness, and there's peace. And let me tell you something. When you get up, there's direction. Won't you trust Him today? Father in heaven, You're good. Kind and gracious. We give You the praise that You are even mindful of us. Even our wayward hearts that cause us not to trust You. Even when we take our eyes off of You, Father, You still are looking to us. And Your invitation is to come. I pray, Father, if there is someone here today, maybe more than one, if they are hearing Your voice call out, come, that they would not hesitate. I ask this in the name of Jesus. If you continue in a spirit of prayer, the altar is open.